This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
We were in the camp over the weekend. We now have a hotel at the camp. Amen. That's where you clap. That hotel costs $3 million. $3 million. And it's just 50 rooms for now. But they're going to be adding more blocks to it. I think there's 5 more in the pipeline. And there's opportunity for investment. Somebody say investment. And don't discount yourself when those things are talked about. To invest, you invest with a minimum of $30,000. You know, okay. I saw somebody roll their eye. You know, don't roll your eyes. God is more than able. The Lord will surprise you. I said the Lord will surprise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Evidence, you know, and by the 7th year, you should have all of your $30,000 back. You know, so what we're trying to do is have people invest, make money, and then over the years, pay them back so that the church can own the property. You know, so it's an investment for 7 years. You get dividends over the 7 years, and after 7 years, you get all of your money back. Amen. Does anybody remember what we talked about last week? Yes, ma'am. Keeping the faith. Keeping the faith. Anybody has anything to add to that? Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. You're both right. A third person tell me the example we used? It was kind of like a character study. You said one already. Close. It starts with a J. Okay, now we're guessing. Okay. No. Yes, sir. Okay, you are remembering previous studies. That's good. It shows that you, at least you are retaining the knowledge. Let me ask the person that knows. Joshua. We talked about Joshua. And I asked us, who was Joshua fighting for? Yes, 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 yes. You know, we did talk about Jephthah. I think that was 2 or 3 weeks ago. You know, so that's good. That's good. Let's put our hands together for ourselves. What that tells me is, at least by the grace of God, we are retaining knowledge. You know, and that's very important, because if I'm not able to retain knowledge, I'm not able to use what I'm learning. Amen. So we asked the question, bless you, who was Joshua fighting for? We're reading from Exodus chapter 17. And thank you. Let me just run through so that we can. We had a number of responses, all of them correct. Someone suggested he was fighting for Moses. Yes, he was fighting for Moses because Moses instructed him to go fight. Somebody said he was fighting for his nation, Israel. That is true, because if they are all destroyed, there's no nation of Israel. He was fighting for God, yes, because they represented God. He was fighting for himself and posterity. That is also true, because if his children and wife and himself get killed, that's the end of Joshua. You know, so all of those are true, and we translated that to us, our service as workers. I want us to please pay attention. Amen. So we said, as a worker, who are you working for? If you say the pastor, yes, you are correct, because the pastor is the one that appoints who gets to be a worker. And Who doesn't? If you say your minister in charge, yes, because your minister in charge oversees the work, the assignment that you're doing. If you say your head of department, that is also correct, because your head of department will give you instructions as to what you need to do from time to time. If you say the church, that is also true, because as a worker, you are a worker of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Salvation Center, San Antonio. And if you say God, you are also correct. If you remove God from all the equation of the church, we don't have a church. Praise the Lord. And if you say for yourself and posterity, you are also correct. Because your service towards God in everything that we do directly impacts your life and can directly impede your life. And if it does impact your life and does not impede it, and you prosper, then your children and the children coming after you will be blessed. Today, we talk about the blessings of Abraham. It's because Abraham did something so significant that God said, I will bless you and I will bless your seed. Praise the Lord. So my service to God is very important. My service to the church is very important. My service in my department to support the mission of my department or my ministry is also very important. So we continue today, and what I'd like to ask today is, how did Joshua fight? How did Joshua fight? How was his fight? Anybody? It's not clearly said. It can be implied from the text that we read the last time, and anybody? Michael, any ideas? How do you think he fought? Okay. I'm talking about the attitude, the nature, you know, not so much the equipment. Courageous and bold. Anybody else? I just need adjectives here. How did he fight? Sister Beam. Yesterday was Sister Bimbo's birthday. She doesn't look older to me. I think she looks kind of younger too. Hallelujah. With all his power and might. Any other suggestions? Yes, Tony? Wholeheartedly. Yes, ma'am. He fought with determination. Yes, ma'am. He fought fearlessly. Amen. One of the things you have to remember is the nation of Israel was just being formed at this time. They did not really have a well-trained army. Remember, they had been slaves for hundreds of years, and they have just been liberated. Even though the Bible says as they were coming out of Egypt that they organized themselves into an army. You know, but I want to assume that army means an army of people, you know, not so much as an army of skills and training, you know. So when they began to fight, all they had inside of them was guts and God. Amen. And he fought courageously, like somebody said. He fought fearlessly. He fought with determination. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. We just read one verse. We read one verse, verse 13. Verse 13 of Exodus chapter 17. It says, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. To discomfit means to unsettle. It means to embarrass. It means to waste and to weaken. Amen. Joshua fought with everything inside of him. And because he fought with everything inside of him, God honored his courage. God will honor your courage. God will honor your determination. Friends, think about this. Who am I? Who are you to say you are speaking on behalf of God? Amen? Who are you to say I'm a worker for God? or I am fighting for God. I am fighting for the faith. Except God helps us, we cannot make it. But the problem I have with the church today is too many of us do things mindlessly. Can you imagine Joshua fighting Amalek mindlessly without a thought, without thinking about what he was doing? Lives will be wasted. Lives will be destroyed. People will be killed. Generations will be destroyed. And that is what happens when we do service unto the Lord without a thought. Yes, let me use the choir maybe for an example. Yes, you have a good voice. Yes, you know how to sing. But you must make sure that you are prepared for battle if you are going to sing before the Lord. If you are going to minister unto the Lord in songs and in praise. It's important that you come prepared. Or maybe I'm an usher. I say, oh, I can, it's so easy. I can tell people where to sit. I can tell them where not to sit. If they listen, that will be fine. If they don't, that's their problem. No, I cannot be mindless about my service to God. I have to give thought to whatever it is I am doing in the house of the Lord. You know, I've said this, I just quit saying it a few years back because I don't want people to feel like we come to church and pastor is just insulting us. Listen to me, an average believer does not think anymore. Think about it. Think about yourself. You go to work, you come back from work, you do your house chores, you read your Bible, you do Facebook, you do this. When do you stop to think and say, where is my life going? What am I doing? It's almost a mindless circle. We just keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep. And after I say, I'm tired. I'm tired. There's no way you will not be tired if you are not stopping to reflect. Joshua stood his ground and he fought gallantly. Do you give up when things get difficult in that department where you're serving? And say, my HOD is crazy. I can't work with this HOD anymore. Or my minister in charge, I don't know what he or she is up to. How do you serve? He stood his ground, though ill prepared for the battle, but he trusted in God. He trusted in God. How should you and I work in the house of the Lord? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Before I read that, do you know it is possible? Think about it. Moses said to Joshua, go gather the men together and go fight Amalek. Myself, the number one guy, Aaron, the number two guy, and all will go to the top of the mountain and will be praying for you. How crazy is that? Amen. He said, but you go gather the men and go to war and die. Do you know it's possible for some people in the camp to have questioned that? And say, how come Moses and his brother are hiding away on top of the mountain and they are sending us to go and fight war? Do you know it's possible in your department sometimes when the pastor gives an instruction, say, how come they two cannot, are we the only one that are supposed to? How do you respond to that? Joshua rallied the people. He rallied the people. They believed in him enough to say, yes, we'll go fight. When the HOD gives an instruction, do you come together and say, you know, he's always doing this, or she's always doing that? What exactly is this all about? I have a better way of doing this. Or do you rally together and say, let's get this done. This is the work of the Lord. How must I work? How must you work? Verse 14 of Philippians chapter 2. It says, do all things without complaining, or without grumbling, or without murmuring. and without disputing or arguing and contention. If every time an instruction is given, you have an opinion that contrary to the instruction, there's something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong with that picture. Amen? There's something wrong with that picture. He said, let us do everything that we do without complaining. To complain is to murmur, is to grumble. You may not say anything to the person, but in your heart, you're like, whatever. Here we go again. Whatever. He said, let us do it without complaining, without murmuring. It is when we do this that we will begin to enjoy what verse 15 and 16 talks about. But do you know, listen to me, do you know that murmuring, complaining, and arguing and contention with authority is a sign of the end time? If you doubt it, when you get home, read 2 Timothy from 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1 to 9. And read the list that is there. It says, when we walk, we must do all things. All things. Does that mean I cannot offer suggestions? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm talking about. But understand that suggestion is not an instruction to your leader. It is exactly that suggestion. It may be taken, it may not be taken. Amen? It says, let us do all things. Without complaining, without grumbling, without murmuring, without disputing, so that you may become blameless and harmless. Do you know, I checked synonyms. I found out that one of the synonyms of harmless is innocent. Many of us have lost the innocence that we had when we first gave our life to Christ. Does anybody remember when you were a fresh believer? When you just gave your life to Christ? The innocence, the excitement, the joy. All you wanted to do was to please God. And if doing this work as a worker, you know, in this ministry, if that is pleasing to God, that's all I want to do. I'm not about impressing people or people appreciating me and saying thank you and well done and oh no. I'm not about that. I'm just about pleasing the master. You know, last Sunday I asked a question. I said, now that you are saved, what exactly is your angle? This whole born again experience. Not thinking about what we are doing, we will begin to regress without knowing it. We begin to regress without knowing it. This whole born again experience and being a worker, what's your angle? What's your take on it? What does it mean to you? Is this something of worth? Is this something of value? If it's something of worth and of value to you, then when we say meeting time is 9:30, that becomes very important to you. Oh, I have to be punctual. I have to make it. Our meeting time, workers' meeting, is 9:30. Amen? Why? Because obedience is key to who I am as a child of God. As a child of God, if I'm living a careless life, a reckless life of I will do what I want, what I like, when I like, that cannot be pleasing to God. That cannot be pleasing to God. I want you to rise to your feet and just talk to the Lord. We talked about the fight of Joshua. Joshua fought gallantly, courageously. Are you walking gallantly? Are you walking courageously? Are you walking fearlessly? Or are you like the thermometer? It depends on how well they can charge me to work. Or am I already self-motivated to work? Bow your heart and talk to the God. Talk to the Lord. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Just talk to him and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me, mighty God. Help me, mighty God. Help me, King of glory. I love you, Lord, today because you care for me in such a special way. My mind, my heart, my soul, they all belong to you. You paid the price for me way back in Calvary. That's why I love you. I appreciate you. There is no one like you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.